Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Okay. So, you know, is it realistic to maintain principal throughout your retirement? We have conversations about this. Let me frame it, right? You had a conversation last week, but this is kind of something that goes on all the time. And people see their portfolio drawing down. So we call that the decumulation phase of your life, right?
What an emotionally challenging time for people.
Right.
And here's the conversation I had with a client this week, Dave. Sat down at their kitchen table, walked them through their portfolio, how it's constructed and so forth. And the amount of money that they're drawing on their savings, mm-hmm. partly because the government forces them to, because they are in a retirement income fund.
But they also have a very good retirement life. Let's say they're living a terrific retirement life.
Right? And they're drawing about 7%. So their $1 million mm-hmm. is what they have invested. They're taking about $70,000 out per year.
Yeah.
The portfolio in their case was about 6%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's go through the numbers really quickly. $1 million went up to $1,060,000.
Right.
They pulled out $70,000.
Right.
Now they're below the $1 million mark.
Right.
So psychologically, they're like, I'm below $1 million. Oh my God.
I'm losing money.
And I'm losing money.
Right.
Faisal, I'm losing money.
Right.
This whole portfolio is wrong.
Right.
And I got the reaction. I smiled because what people forget when they're in retirement is that they're actually spending their money, mm-hmm. their savings. Mm-hmm. But it's a very difficult, challenging time for individuals to say, yeah, I took $70,000. And yeah, I'm going to be below my $1 million now. And next year, unless we get 7% return.
Well, 7.2%.
Sure.
Yeah, right.
Then we're going to be drawing on our capital.
Right.
And this thing can go to zero.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Because my last 45 years of investing, I had to make it go up.
Mm-hmm.
That was my objective.
Yep.
Now I have to understand and accept it going down.
Well, and is it okay? Is it okay for it to go down? Now, I mean, that's a loaded question.
It is loaded.
Yeah, and people will answer it differently depending on what their objectives are. But let me use a little industry speak, okay? When you're building your wealth, right, we all have one goal, and it's the same goal, is just get bigger,
yep.
right? And so we call that the accumulation phase of your life.
Yep.
And then you're going to hit some point in your life where you say, okay, I'm done that stage, right? I want to call it quits, ratchet back my work effort, whatever the case may be. We'll just call that period retirement for the sake of argument. And I need to draw on the stuff I've saved over my lifetime.
Correct.
Okay. So let's think about it in terms of a pension. Let's say you didn't have the savings. It was just a pension, a defined benefit pension plan.
Yep.
Okay. If you had nothing but the defined benefit pension plan, then what's going to happen is when you and your spouse pass away, okay, quite likely the pension plan at that point is gone and there's nothing left.
There's right? no money left
behind. You have consumed everything, according to the pension, in that plan to support your lifestyle.
Yes.
And there's no estate value.
Yes.
So is it wrong to build a pension with your, assuming that we don't have any legacy wishes or anything else, okay? Would it be wrong to say, I want to draw down at a rate aggressively enough to take this to zero at some point in the future?
I think it's hard to ask the question, is it right or wrong, versus how does it feel?
Yeah.
And that's where I think it comes into play.
Yeah.
And I think when you have, and I've, again, talking to so many of our clients this week that are in the decumulation phase of their, even if it's a 1 year decumulation.
Sure.
The sensitivity goes up. First of all, the sensitivity of unexpected extraordinary expenses that may arise, like a repairing of the roof that may cost $30,000. Oh my Lord, we're losing money in our portfolio and I got to pull another $30,000 out.
Or that really special trip that you want to take. Correct. Or a special anniversary, you want to take the grandkids and it cost you more than what you thought.
Correct.
Okay.
So that brings up a reaction.
Right.
The second thing that happens is when people are seeing their portfolio being is decumulating, volatility in the market like last year,
mm-hmm.
although for us was a small drop in the market versus mm-hmm. the overall market, mm-hmm. our portfolio did 40% less of volatility than the stock market.
The growth portfolio.
Yeah. The growth portfolio. Still brought in a lot of fear.
Yep.
Now, you sat down with one of our clients mm-hmm. who said to you...
Well, this was interesting. He's an accountant, okay? So he's... I only put that out there because he would see himself as very logical.
He thinks in numbers, yeah.
Numbers, right. And he's very conscious of this. And his reaction, which you and I have talked about, I found very interesting. He said, listen, portfolio was mildly negative last year. And he said, Dave, I got to tell you, the experience of that emotionally was way different than any euphoria that I would have expected to feel on this massive recovery I've gotten in the first part of this year.
Yeah.
And he said, that doesn't make any sense. It's completely emotional. And ultimately, I kick back to my rational brain. You know, I'm an accountant and I can do the numbers. But he said it's a weird experience. Now, this is a guy also that has an income bucket. So he's experiencing the volatility in the growth bucket, knowing that he's got income assets set aside that weren't affected by that.
Correct. It actually went up.
Yeah. So it was very interesting. You know, it's very we know that there's a what we call the behavioral finance side. We know there's an emotional impact, right? And what we have to do is, I don't know, train, educate, structure, all of these things in an effort to try to allow people to enjoy the freedom of their retirement.
Yeah, and it's hard to let go. It's hard to say, I accept the fact that my portfolio, my savings,
right,
will go down to zero over time potentially.
Right.
Right, and that time frame is supposed to be when I'm gone.
Yeah, lifetime, right?
Right, so if there's volatility, if there's an extra expense, if there's something that goes wrong or, you know, haywire in mm-hmm. their life, they react mm-hmm. emotionally to the portfolio saying, let's make some changes, let's do something different. These are the kind of concerns that, so it's 90% emotional, correct. 10% rational.
Yeah, no, correct. And it's interesting. So, you know, we talk about the planning process often on the show, and often a plan will show a decumulation, right? But again, conceptually, people understand that. But emotionally, when they're experiencing it, it's something very different. And it can come from different places, right? No doubt there's a fear that some people have, oh gosh, I'm going to run out of money, right? I mean, that's a fear that people have. Some will say, oh gosh, I'm not going to have anything left over for the kids, right? Okay, fair fear. So there's a whole bunch of different things can trigger that emotional reaction. And trying to understand what it is an important piece of the puzzle. I had another client experience. I may have talked about this at some point, but... very, very sensitive to the volatility. And I got to tell you what it was. Ultimately, through a series of conversations and meetings and kind of soul searching, and what we discovered is a very small portion of their portfolio had been received from an inheritance from a parent, a deceased parent.
Yeah.
And as soon as we could identify the fact that
that's mom's money.
Yeah. That this was mom's money and mom had to work hard and struggled for this.
Yeah.
Once we were able to pull that piece out, protect it separately, that fear went away. So it's really interesting. It's an emotional, it's a human journey. I always talk about the human journey, right? Yeah. The math is important, don't get me wrong, but the math never lies to us. It's our emotions that often can be clouded and confusing and trying to figure out, you know, that human journey, the experience that we want to have.
Yeah. While you were saying that, I was thinking about my youngest daughter last year. I remember this was really interesting. I want ice cream, Dad.
Yeah.
Okay. You can only have two scoops.
Right.
So I put two scoops in a bowl.
I'm coming with you.
I know. I'm a good dad.
Don't tell my kids that one.
I know. They're the only ones that listen to the show anyways.
I'm going to be a bad dad. You know that.
Yeah. So I put two scoops in the bowl. She's eating away. She's enjoying it. Things are good. All of a sudden, I come in and take a bite out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. This is all I have. How dare you take away some of this from me?
Right.
I'm like, you'll have ice cream in the future. No. Today, this is all I have. How dare you take, and that's
I can same, guess which one it is.
this is the experience that people have. It's their you're taking away their ice cream.
Right.
Right. And so when you take away their ice cream, the reaction is exactly the same.
Yeah.
Okay. The only difference is my clients don't kick me in the shins. My daughters do.
Well, some do. Some do. That's right. Interesting. So it's, okay. I mean, we've talked about this emotional reaction again, but let's go back to, I said it's education. It's structured. There's a lot of things that we can do to put in place for that. And that is really the, let's call it the what we've embarked upon. I mean, we've been doing seminars for a long time. But Faisal, you and I have said, if we can educate people about this,
correct,
right, then we think we can improve the quality. Whether you're working with us or not, that's irrelevant. What we want to do is educate people about what they're going to experience, the human side and the mathematical side. And if we can get those things together, if mm-hmm. you can overcome those emotional experiences and concerns and fears, and you can put together a mathematical plan that supports all those things, we're hoping that results in a higher quality of retirement.
So what you're expressing is our structure and our approach to the four buckets that we call it, asset dedication, is the solution to bulletproof your retirement. Now, we're going to discuss this on Tuesday, May 14th,
7 p.m. at the Four Points Sheraton Hotel in West Calgary. Now, you need to reserve your seats. So please give us a call at 966-8400. That's 966-8400. Or you can register online at morethanmoneyradio.com.
Okay, thanks for joining us for another edition. A reminder that any of our past segments can be accessed on morethanmoneyradio.com, or you can have them delivered directly to you by searching for More Than Money CHQR on Apple Podcast or your favorite podcast app. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of More Than Money on 770 CHQR.
David Popowich and Faisal Karmali are portfolio managers and investment advisors with CIBC Wood Gundy in Calgary. The views of David Popowich and Faisal Karmali do not necessarily reflect those of CIBC World Markets Inc. Clients are advised to seek advice regarding their particular circumstances from their personal tax and legal advisors. If you are currently a CIBC Wood Gundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Wood Gundy is a division of CIBC World Markets Inc., a subsidiary of CIBC and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada.